G'day race fans. Well, it's official. Lando Norris, he's become the 35th Formula One world champion. We were in Abu Dhabi, hence why this video is a little late. What a season. Bit of a roller coaster.
Yeah, man, it's been a long season. And here we are. Lando Norris did the job. Max and Oscar both did what they could. Maybe Max maybe could have done a little bit more, but we'll get into that a little bit later. But look, man, can't take anything away from Lando Norris. Deserving. Super stoked for him. As a Piastri fan, gutted. But yeah, like I said, stoked for Norris. Norris gets the job done by 2 points.
Yeah, all it took was 2 points.
Those 2 points.
We did see Kimi Antonelli apologize to Max Verstappen regarding his little mistake out at Qatar. But realistically, you can go back over 24 races and there are many moments that make up this jigsaw. Well, let's get stuck in. We have to start off with McLaren.
Yeah.
We have to start off there, even though Max won the race. We always knew it was Lando's to lose.
Yep.
I was sort of hoping that the race would be spiced up with perhaps George Russell being in the mix, Leclerc. Once the race panned out, it was pretty clear it was all under control for McLaren. I was happy to see them split strategy.
Yep.
Oscar on the hard and Lando was on the medium.
Yep.
And I thought that was a good move from the start. And then we did see that great overtake from Piastri early in the race.
Yeah, one of the passes of the season for sure. But they were strong, but they'd never really had the pace to kind of match Verstappen out in front. Like, I thought maybe Oscar was with a shot with going that alternative strategy by starting on the hards and then gets in front of Norris. And I thought, oh, here we go. We could be on here, but Max was just out in front, man. He's controlling the race, managing his tyres. And then the gap at the end for Oscar, like, I feel like maybe they pitted him just a little bit too late. Well, he never really had the pace, but then he didn't really have any time to try and close that gap. So, and on Lando's side of the garage, he was never going to do anything risky.
It was all about keeping the nose clean at turn one.
Yeah.
Getting a good race start, making sure the pit stops hit their mark.
Yeah. And then all he had to really do was just stay, make sure he kept in front of Leclerc, because Leclerc did have him under the pump a little bit. So all he had to do was really just manage that side of the race.
What about Norris's pass on Yuki Tsunoda off track? What do you make of that one?
Oh.
Got to have a bit of controversy.
Yeah. He did technically pass him off the track.
Yeah.
Now, Yuki was trying to break the toe, obviously. But I think it was just as Lando sort of went to make the move, there was just that last little jink from Yuki.
Yeah.
And obviously they probably still have scars from 2021. So they don't want to be seen to be, what's the word I'm looking for?
Biased seems to be the... that's the hot topic in Formula 1 circles.
But they don't want the result to be...
Fabricated.
Or
I know where you're going.
You know what you're trying to say, and I hope the people at home know what I'm trying to say. Like I said, it's a long weekend, still dusty, still tired, trying to come up with words is a bit hard. But I think it might have been easier just to put the blame on Yuki.
I didn't see anything really wrong with it.
I mean, he would have got the job done anyway.
The only issue I had was realistically the penalty on Yuki.
Well, it set standard, didn't it?
It set the standard for the rest of the race, and then we saw...
It was just a penalty fest.
Which, look, we love the consistency, but I just think it was over the top from that first decision with Yuki. I don't think he should have been given the penalty. I understand where they're coming from with why Norris had to go around and off track. So I just think it should have just been left alone and race continue as normal. Obviously, people have different opinions about that, but that is okay.
But I mean, Norris had a massive pace advantage, man. Like he
probably could have been a tad more patient.
Patient, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was still quite risky because you're going completely offline. You're on the green stuff. You could have ended up with a puncture out there. That's probably the most forceful we've seen him all year.
Yeah, there was also a nice pass where he got the move done. I think it was on Liam Lawson, and I think Stroll at the time.
Yeah, he did like a double, didn't he?
Yeah, sort of a double and got the move done really nicely, which was, when I saw it, it's just one of those moments of like, oh, I hope this doesn't go wrong type thing. So
it's kind of one of those races where those three guys drove like champions because they did what they needed to do. You know what I mean? So you start from Max. Max needed to get a good launch, get into that first corner first, he sort of drove, was very similar to a 2021 Hamilton style drive for Max. Got the start and just controlled the race and was like a machine the whole weekend. Didn't put a foot wrong.
Let's jump into Red Bull. Because they're the ones that, exactly what you said, controlled Max champion drive, 2 points, 2 points off. Could they have done something different strategy? Could Red Bull have backed up the pack?
When I watched the race back again last night, I kind of felt like, yeah, it was Max sort of got out front.
Took control.
Yeah, took control. Like it was a demon drive, man. Like it was a champion drive, right? That's what a champion does. At some point, maybe even when the first lot of pit stop come and then you started to have guys out of position, you could have possibly maybe started to back the pack up a little bit more then and use the traffic maybe a little bit more to your advantage. I think they might have been a bit more worried about Piastri.
Julian Palmer did a really good segment on F1 TV. So if you do have a subscription, go there because he did explain certain scenarios. And again, it's all in hindsight of what Red Bull possibly could have done. And they've run simulations. Yeah. But it did seem once we got later into the race that essentially Red Bull was resigned to the fact that Max has got the win and it's just going to come down to
luck.
They need a mechanical failure on Lando Norris's part. There probably were moments where they could have tried something a little bit different. And you're right, particularly later in the race, they were worried about Piastri being on the fresher tyres because at the end of the day, Max needed to win that race. But the issue became Piastri, really, because even if they could back Norris up into Leclerc and hopefully maybe Russell, the biggest issue for Red Bull, I think, was the Mercedes wasn't quick enough.
Yeah.
Russell was not quick enough. Yep. They needed Russell in the mix. Leclerc, possibly. But then the risk was Piastri could get past Verstappen. But then you've got Piastri there that even if Leclerc was able to get past Norris, well, then Piastri could just fall back.
Yeah.
And Norris comes back into that position as well. So
yeah.
I guess, look, the race is dynamic. You have your theories of what you're going to do, but that's based on what you are going to do. You're guessing what everybody else is going to do
to come
up with those scenarios. So, look, I don't think Red Bull did anything wrong.
There's nothing much more they could have done, really.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly right.
They needed to win the race. They did exactly that. They tried to use Yuki to help. He probably just got caught in the wrong part of the circuit.
Yeah, he really needs to get into that sector three. You can't pass anyone really in sector three.
Sector three, yeah.
Yeah, that's where you can hold up. So, again, a lot of luck being in the right place at the right time, and unfortunately Yuki just wasn't in the right place.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's talk about Yuki. What, did he qualify 10th?
Yep.
So he did the job, got himself in the 10 to maybe play a role in helping Max.
Yep, threw him on the hards.
Yep.
Always going to run him long.
Look, I mean, they weren't really too concerned about his race, were they? His job was to be the rear gunner for Max. So not a bad way to end the season for him, I don't think.
I'm sure he would have liked some pick up some points because what did he finish in the end? It was 14. But obviously he had the penalty and
once he got that penalty, then that kind of screwed his race.
Mercedes. Well, I think for me, Mercedes was the greatest, probably one of the biggest disappointments of the weekend. I really thought George Russell was going to give us something special. And to be honest, through qualifying, he looked all right. But I think on his final push lap, he got loose out of the final corner, lost a lot of time there. Qualified fourth. Yeah, that was a bit of a disappointment on that side. Antonelli, wasn't one of his best races. Been on a roll lately.
Yeah. Yeah, that car just realistically just didn't have the pace.
Just wasn't hooked.
To match those guys up the front this weekend. Russell, man, did you see his start? Went into Andy's stall and then got it back and then just trying to get that thousand horsepower down, and he ended up losing a couple of places to Leclerc and Alonso. Got back past Alonso, but just didn't have the pace to do anything with Leclerc. He tried the undercut on Leclerc, but then they dropped him down and he couldn't get away. So he lost about a second and a half there, and that was probably the second and a half he needed to get in front of Leclerc. And for Kimi, man, he just struggled all weekend. He just wasn't quite happy with the balance.
Yeah, Ferrari. Interesting. They were a bit of a mixed bag because we saw, obviously, the Q1 elimination for Lewis, another one.
Yeah.
But realistically, he had a pretty decent race, a good flight back, getting back up into P8 back into the points. And Leclerc, I thought he just may have been that guy at the start. He was pushing Norris really hard at the start, but it was always going to be a question of, are the tyres going to hang on?
Yeah, like you said, man, it was a good way to finish the season for them, considering the last few weekends they've had, especially for Lewis, because we saw the way he started that weekend off in the barriers. Realistically, man, when that car goes back to Italy, put it in the recycling bin, turn it into plastic bags and throw it away again, because it's just garbage, man. Like, they had no confidence. You could see all weekend the rear of that car was not there.
At least it's been consistent for the whole year. Love consistency.
But also, you know, good for Lewis, because I think he really did need a drive like that, and he managed to keep himself ahead of Kimi in the championship. It wouldn't be a good look if...
It wouldn't be. The optics wouldn't be great.
You got beaten by a rookie that replaced you in Mercedes. So.
Yeah, it wouldn't be great.
Yeah.
Because, we saw the big accident in P3, and I missed out on some grand footage. I was race-side walking along the track. I was more interested in recording a plane that was going overhead. Then I heard all the crowd go crazy, and Lewis Hamilton was right next to me on the back of the scooter. So I'm still kicking myself.
Poor effort. That was a Ferrari type effort.
It was. It was, and I absolutely bottled it. Cracked under the pressure. But no, I agree. Look, it was good for Hamilton to have a strong competitive race.
Strong race pace to finish the season. And you saw Leclerc too in the post race. Like, he was just frustrated about the whole season, wasn't he? He was just like...
Oh, man, I think he's been frustrated. Like, you know, most of his career over there, to be honest, mate.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, were you happy with the race? He's like, no, I'm frustrated, mate. I'm frustrated with how the year was. The season's been garbage.
Yep, it has been.
So burn that car.
Burn it. Restart again. 2026. Now, you're speaking of Ocon, promotion here for Haas. P7 for Ocon.
Man, they were good all weekend. Hey, that car was, like, in the practice sessions. Ollie's like, what have you done to the car? This thing's a weapon.
Oh, yeah, he was pretty happy with it. Qualified P8 for Ocon and finished P7. Behrman was just outside P11 qualified. Yeah.
I felt like he missed out in quali, man, because he was all weekend. He looked good enough to be, like, fifth
those,
or sixth.
Those practice sessions, he was pretty hot.
Yeah. And, I mean, what a weekend for Ocon, man. What a way to finish the season. Like, he needed that, because Ollie was... Yep. Schooling him, really.
And some big news with Haas. Toyota Gazoo
Racing.
Yep. Title sponsor, aren't they?
Yeah.
What were they this year? MoneyGram.
MoneyGram, Haas.
Is MoneyGram still part of it?
Yeah, MoneyGram is still there. But I think Toyota Gazoo is the...
Yeah, Toyota Gazoo Racing Haas.
Yeah.
You're starting to see,
it's like the manufacturers are starting to become more prominent.
Yeah, exactly. So, good finish to the season for Haas. I think that was a good one. And like you said, for Ocon.
Also too, man, Ollie, unlucky in the race, got that 5-second penalty. Again, Yuki set the standard on that penalty. So anyone that decided was going to weave and try and break a toe, well, that was it.
You were going to get a penalty
for
sure. The adjudicators were, they didn't want any leniency whatsoever.
Yeah, so on Ollie's side, man, I feel like he missed out big time this weekend,
because that
last half of the season for him, man, he's been mighty, man. He's been so, so good. But Ocon, he'll go away quite happy. And that was, I think, his best result since Monaco. So that's how long ago it was since he's had a good result.
Long time. Well, speaking of good results, stake last race for Sauber as well in the points. Nico Hülkenberg picking up P9. Bordoletto just outside of the points in P11, but they did qualify well, particularly Bordoletto.
Yeah.
P7.
Another good race car. Another good race car this weekend.
Hang on, where was Hülkenberg? Did he come from way back?
He came from 18th. P18. He started on the soft. He had the same sort of strategy as Lewis. Didn't quite get up into the points, but then he got lucky because I think Stroll got the penalty. He got a penalty as well. I can't remember exactly what it was for.
Tons of penalties.
Multiple direction changes again.
Yes, so plenty of that, yep.
That bumped him up into the points. So, man, they were strong all weekend.
Well, Audi next year.
Yep.
So Peter Sauber being I think Sauber's been part of Formula One since, I think, 1993.
Yeah.
In fact, they were, if I can remember rightly, were they the first team that ran some Red Bull sponsorship?
Yeah, with Kimi Räikkönen, was it?
Nah, before that, I think. I think we're going maybe it was early. No. I'm sure if there was some Red Bull sponsorship floating around in Formula One in the 90s.
Yeah, because I remember them, they had like the, it was like a light, was it blue or green?
There was kind of like that greeny teal.
Yeah. That's the one I remember. And I think that's the one Kimi ran, right?
I think Kimi did run that.
Yeah. Anyway, he's been around a long time.
Been a long time.
We could sit here. And it was nice to see Formula One did a little Instagram post with him sort of standing around and watching the end of the race, and the fireworks were going off, and it was...
Because he is a bit understated. Like when you look at most of the characters that have been around for quite some time, whether it's team ownership, etc., you don't see a lot from Peter Sauber.
Well, that's the thing.
Most people don't see a lot of focus on him.
Do you know who Peter Sauber is? They probably don't know.
Yeah.
Right? But you go, do you know who Flavio is? Oh, yeah. Everyone knows who Flavio is. Right?
Oh, Flavio.
So you're right. He's understated, and it's great that they're shifting to Audi.
Yep.
So that team's in good hands.
Yeah.
And it's probably just deserved for all his hard work and everything he's put into Formula One to not sort of let it slip away and
into oblivion. So we almost missed. We forgot about poor old Aston Martin.
Mate, what a weekend.
Double points. Fernando P6, Stroll. Yes, you're back, baby.
Yeah. And we thought he was just going to be like, it's the last race of the season. Not going to give you anything. But that car was mighty. I think Stroll maybe not so much in qualifying.
Yeah.
But I think Stroll started on the Haas.
Back in P15.
Yeah, went long and then jumped on the mediums, man, and was super, super quick. He got a penalty, dropped back to 11th, but then Behrmann got a penalty, which dropped. Put him back into the points.
Yeah.
And Alonso was just mighty, man.
He got a good start too, Alonso.
Yeah.
And he was pretty punchy initially. And then, when you look at it, Fernando or Lance gained a couple more positions, and that Racing Bulls P6 in the Constructors would have been under serious threat. It was only three points in it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, not
a good, I mean, like a good weekend for Aston Martin, but they probably will be seething just a little bit that they couldn't just extract just a tiny bit more.
I mean, they tried. They definitely tried, especially from Alonso, man. He's a wily old character, and he was making sure Stroll was in the points.
Yep.
He's like, what do we need to do to get it done? Especially on Alonso's side this weekend. Like, they were mega. That car was cool. That car was actually really, really good.
Well, speaking of a car that wasn't so good,
which
I thought would have done better, and that was Williams.
Fair, that car wasn't great all weekend. And that's the story of their season, I feel like. You know, they had that mega start to the season and that kind of set them up for the rest of the season. But then you look at...
It was a one side of the garage to the other swing, basically. It was Albon first half, Sainz second half. So I think if they can get both consistent...
Yeah, and I like Sainz's comments too in the post-race. Like, he was glad that they had a result like this. We won't sit back and rest on our laurels now. It's like, this will drive us forward. And I thought they were really strong and really good comments. Like, he's not there to mess around. Like, he wants to get them back to the front. Albon's side, man, oh, bro, what a way to finish the year. That's eight races in a row now with no points. That's hard.
Season's over and he just needs a good refresh into next year. Where are we up to? Racing Bulls.
Oh, what a shit show.
It was just race pace. Wasn't great. It was a bit hard for me to sort of work out what was going on. I was in the marina stand for probably the first 28 laps. And what it looked like to me was they left Liam out there longer.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that was to be a bit of a hindrance to Lando Norris. But if you go by race pace itself.
Yeah, look.
P17, P18 finish. Hadjar was in Q3. Lawson was just off the pace back in P13. Sort of expected a bit more, but again, admittedly, I didn't see a lot of their race. So I don't know if their race was compromised because they were trying to assist.
Yeah, but they were doing it with anyone, it was Lawson. But then for Hadjar to start, what did he start? Ninth.
Yeah.
And this is the problem we've seen with Racing Bulls this last half of the season, is the one lap stuff seems to work for them for whatever reason. But the moment we get into race pace, the long runs just falls back, man. And he just sunk like a sinker, bro. He was.
Yep.
So for me, that they were poor this weekend. Yes, it got into Q3, Hadjar. But
Lawson did get a penalty as well, 5-second time penalty, one penalty point for erratic driving, and again for the break in the toe. I did see that highlight. Behrman was behind him. Lawson did come across a little late to block him, but again, the precedent was set from Yuki. But I can't listen. People complaining about it, not the penalty itself, but just being like, oh, this is dangerous, or this is bad, or it's typical Lawson. It's like, are you here to see racing?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. We need to see drivers defend. We need to see drivers attack. Okay, you might not like the driver, but come on, guys. Like, we want to see racing.
Yeah, but then it doesn't help when the FIA then go ahead and give a penalty, because then it just justifies that reason.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right. Like, you want to see these guys race, and you've got to remember, too, with DRS, the guy behind does have an unfair advantage. What, you just want him to hold his line, every guy just to hold their line and let the guy behind pass?
Yep.
Mate, they're fighting for millions and millions and millions of dollars.
And careers.
And careers, that's exactly right.
Exactly.
So, but they didn't really look good all weekend, man. And to be honest, yeah, if Stroll or Alonso got an extra couple of spots, they were cooked, man. They would have lost that sixth position in the constructors. So they were really lucky in that aspect.
Yeah. Well, last race for Isaac Hadjar before the promotion into Red Bull. And we did see him on track in Red Bull, because we did go to the young driver and the Pirelli testing yesterday. Abu Dhabi, another reason why this video is out a little bit late.
Yep.
So there we go. And for those that have been following the VCAR boys on social media, Lysak. The Lysak duo. Shame that will all come to an end as they separate and go their separate ways. But a team that was consistent, and that is Alpine, bringing up the rear, just happy that it's all over.
Oh, man, did you see Pierre in the post-race? He had no words, man. He had like the big, he was like chuffed it was over, eh? He's like, I don't know what to say. Like, I'm so glad that this season is over. Like, they sacrificed so much this year.
For 2026,
you know. Yeah. And apart from Gasly's, I think he had 10 Q3 appearances this year. They were really the only highlights. Because every time he got into Q10, it was like he got taken out, never got to show his race pace.
Yeah, there were a few moments there where he had a great Saturday, and then Sunday was ruined for reasons. But a long season for Alpine, you know, starting off with Jack Doohan for what, the first seven rounds, I think it was, six rounds?
Yeah, basically to Japan.
Yeah, and then Colapinto. Oh, to Japan. Japan was the third round.
Was it? Yeah, wasn't it after Japan? Oh, no, sorry, no, you're right, no, see, long season,
yeah,
big weekend.
It just melds into
just
one race.
Yes, no, you're right, it was six races, because it was after Miami, wasn't it?
I think, yes, Miami does ring a bell.
It was either before or after Miami, it was one of those, but anyway. But look, they finished the season the way they started, a mess, nothing, no pace, last in qualifying, last in the race, it was just went through the motions, I think, just to get through the weekend.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. 24 rounds, and Lando Norris, 35th driver's champion. I think he's the 11th British driver to win a world championship.
Yep.
And, yeah, a bit of a roller coaster of a season. I'll put up the points of where everybody finished. Colapinto was the only one. Well, okay, Doohan as well. Left with the donut. Yeah, a few big things. Look, rip to DRS.
Yeah.
2011 to 2025.
Did you see the, I think it was Antonelli was the last person.
Last one to push it, yep.
Push it, and he was only 4 years old when Button was the
First to use it.
Yep. First to use it. So
you got to love these statistics that people just delve into and can find.
Got too much time on their hands.
So no more DRS. Obviously, we've mentioned Peter Sauber and the move on into Audi.
Yep.
What are the other big talking points? Hadjar last race. Four V-carb, Tsunoda's last race.
Yep.
On the grid.
And the last race of these.
Ground effect era.
We look forward to 2026 now. And I mean, yes, the season's over, but the season's not over for us. And we're still on the race to 500.
Oh, mate, come on. We've wanted it by this weekend. Well, the weekend that's just gone. We just missed out. So I feel like we've gone to Max Verstappen territory, just missing out. Yep. But it is still on.
But our season's not over yet, technically.
Now we're just going to push it to the 31st of December by the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly right. That's when our season ends.
we've granted ourselves an extension for 500.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, is there anything else?
No, that's it, man.
Well, we've got we will pull out a vlog perhaps this week or next week of just footage we put together of our stay over the weekend in Abu Dhabi in the marina.
Then there's the season review. Then there's the look to 2026.
Hey, we haven't even mentioned the news with Marco, Helmut Marco.
Oh, yes.
That's big news.
Oh, big Helmut Marco.
And maybe we'll pull something about that. But the interesting thing is that this will be his final season.
Yeah. I think he's stepped on one too many toes as of late.
Yep, rumors about the signing of Dunn
and Lindblad. Consent
and Lindblad.
So. But I think we might save that one for another video.
Yep. And I'm sure there's something else. There's been so much to round up.
Again, season's made up of moments. We've probably missed 100 moments. Again, Norris, man, well done, bro. Deserving. Yep. Deserving champion.
I think,
and it's good for him too. I think,
it was nice to see. It was nice to see the moment that he had with his family. You can't begrudge that.
No.
Like as much as we're Piastri fans, and we would love to have seen Piastri get it done.
Yeah,
mate, he's a deserving champion. Any three of those that walked away over the weekend with that 35th drivers' champion.
Look,
as the 35th driver's champion, you'd be pretty happy for.
And Verstappen, man, to come from, over 100 points down to be within a shot of the last race, mate. Yep.
I did see some people on X writing posts about, no one remembers who came second. But, mate, I'll tell you, I remember who came second.
Yeah, I'll remember that drive, that second half of the season, mate, for a long, long time.
Exactly right. So,
let us know in the comments. What did you think of the race? Was Norris a deserving champion? Was the penalty harsh for Yuki? Did Norris get lucky? Maybe, maybe not.
People have some strong opinions. But speaking of opinions, like we always do, mate, just fire it out. Final thought.
Oh, no, there's not much more I need to say, man. 35th world champion, deserving. Max Verstappen. You're a legend for what you showed this year. Oscar, bro, hold your head up high, man. Your third season in Formula One and you are fighting for a world championship. Can't ask for any more than that. Yes, you didn't get the job done this year, but you proved to everybody within Formula One and everybody outside of Formula One, you are going to be a Formula One champion at some point in your career.
And just want to throw out some condolences to the Ferrari fans as well.
Hurts. I moved on. The moment the checkered flag fell.
I know what you've done. You've gone into typical Ferrari fan mode and go, mate, next year is our year.
Yeah. Has to be.
Well,
I'm only one season deep and I'm over it already.
Excellent. All right, well, I think that wraps it up. 24 rounds. I just want to say thank you for all the support that we've had over the season. Yes, we're still going to throw out more content, of course, until the beginning of next season, but it's been cool. It's been a great journey.
It's been a ride, good, man. It's
been a roller coaster.
It's been fun and a great way for us to end it too.
Yeah.
Being on a boat in Formula One, doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, 100%.
So until then, We'll catch you in the next one.
Catch ya.